Good to see everyone here tonight. We're glad to come out to this evening to worship God and we can study the Bible together. We're going to look tonight at the book of Ecclesiastes and some of the things that Solomon had to say. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at the end of his life, the end of his writing, Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." I read that and realize that Solomon, if you look at the entire book of Ecclesiastes, it is Solomon writing, I assume from reading this, that was at the end of his life. He had been one who had every opportunity to try everything imaginable in man's life that he had. He had everything that every man, woman, and child in the world could possibly want for the time in which he lived. And he still was seeking something that he could never seem to achieve in all of these things. And look in our world today, and the primary purpose that so many people have in life is to find something that will ultimately bring them happiness. And you think about that, there's a lot of things that might bring them that. Some people, we believe through the Word of God that salvation is the thing that brings us the greatest happiness of all, because ultimately, that's not going to just last in this life, but for all of eternity. But there are those who are not interested in that because they don't want to bother with spiritual things. There are things that want acceptance by people around them. They want ease of living. They want to eat certain kind of food or whatever other things that brings them joy. And many think that that's going to bring happiness eventually. But there's always something that is always there that's not quite right. It's never finished. It's never completed. And so we look at Solomon's writing in Ecclesiastes this evening. He was the king of Israel. He was in some ways the greatest king of all. In some ways his father David was. But Solomon was the king of the Israelite nation at its greatest nature and extent and everything else that possibly could be. But Solomon was there for it. But he was a seeker of happiness. And one of the things of the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon explaining how he tried all of these different things that ultimately hoped was going to bring him happiness. So we're going to look at a few of those this evening that Solomon himself wrote about and what he did and what he thought about it and what he thought about the end of the result of it. And so Solomon's search for happiness gives us some lessons that we can kind of gain from looking at and seeing the things that he wrote for us. First of all, to find happiness, Solomon tried to find that in wisdom. And we realize that Solomon had a wisdom that God gave to him. When God gave him the opportunity, when he first became king of Israel, and God said to Solomon, he says, whatever you want, you can ask, and I will give it. And Solomon did not ask for fame or fortune or all of the things that people think are so important in life. He asked God to give him an understanding heart. And in 1 Kings chapter 4, 1 Kings chapter 4, excuse me, chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 12. God spoke to Solomon. He says, "Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be anyone arise after you." That's what God promised him. He says, because you did not ask for wealth and power and fame and all of those other things, but you asked for an understanding heart to guide the people of Israel in the way that I want, I will give you all of those things. And so God did. In fact, over chapter 4 of 1 Kings and verse 29, it says, "God gave Solomon wisdom exceedingly great, and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than, than all men. Ethan the Ezrazite, Haman and Chalcol and Darda and the sons of Machol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. So in other words, he was recognized by everyone everywhere as being the wisest man of his time. And you think, well, certainly wisdom had to be the greatest thing that someone could have. And in some ways it was, probably. But God gave Solomon wisdom that was greater than anyone of his time. He says, no one's ever had your wisdom. Nobody ever will have it after you, because you have asked for wisdom instead of anything of a material value. And Solomon came to a conclusion about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who reigned over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has observed the wealth and wisdom and knowledge. Now Solomon was talking about himself, but he was not boasting about it. He was simply making a statement of the truth that God revealed to him. And so he did have that kind of wisdom. He did have that too. And you'd think maybe that that would satisfy any desire of his heart, but it didn't. Now, Solomon was indeed a wise man, but his wisdom, and that wisdom, he was able to solve some of the greatest problems of the time. Now, the one we usually think about, and the greatest example, is found in 1 Kings chapter 3. And in fact, I had the television on today on some program, and there was actually a reference to this thing in that particular television program. So here we are, whatever we are, 3,000 years later, and we're still talking about the same incident. There's two women who lived in the same house. They both had babies. One night, one of the women rolled over and, I guess, smothered the baby that she had. And so in the night, she took her baby that had died and switched the other one. And so when the other woman woke up in the morning, she had a dead baby there. Well, she says, no, this is not mine. This was yours. And so it came before Solomon. And what would we do in that kind of situation? How would we solve and resolve that situation? They read in 1 Kings chapter 3 what Solomon did. And try to put yourself for a moment in his place. He had all this wisdom, but he didn't know who was telling the truth and who was not. He did not have that kind of knowledge, and God didn't give him that kind of knowledge. So he couldn't possibly know one or the other. So Solomon came up with a solution. He said, okay, told one of his soldiers there to pull out his sword, cut the baby in half and give one to one mother and the other to the other mother. Now that sounds like a terrible thing that Solomon said to do. And it was, but he's doing it for a purpose. Well, one woman said, okay, I'm okay with that. I'll take my half, you take your half. The other one said, no, give the baby to her. Let the baby live. And of course, Solomon knew at that time, in his wisdom, which the true mother was. And so he gave the baby to her. And we look at that and realize the people were amazed at his wisdom and his understanding. Even though, like I said, God did not give him the understanding to know exactly the situation there, which baby belonged to which mother. But he did give him the wisdom to be able to figure it out. So the people were amazed. They had a reverence for that kind of wisdom. And we look at that, and like I said, it's such an ingrained story, even to people who don't even know what the Bible is all about, that story is retold or referred to over and over again. So like I said, I turned on television this afternoon. In our program, there is a reference to that passage. But in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 7, the queen of Sheba had come to visit Solomon, because she had heard his wealth and glory, his power, his wisdom. And when she got through seeing all of these things, She said, the half was not told me. In other words, they couldn't even explain the wisdom of Solomon during his time. But Solomon's wisdom was a great thing and a great blessing. Although we read through the life of Solomon in 1 Kings and we find that he did not, even with that great wisdom, he didn't always live up to it. And we'll get to some of that in a moment. But however great his wisdom was, it caused him to understand that that in itself was not going to bring true happiness. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Turn over Ecclesiastes chapter 1 for a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 18. Solomon said, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. In other words, he says, the more we know, the more difficulty and problems and the trouble in life we understand. And so wisdom may be a good thing, but it also brings, there's a bad side to it also. And sometimes not knowing things is good for us because we don't have the sorrow and such that comes with it. So Solomon's pursuit of knowledge and wisdom, he concludes in that chapter, in that passage, it's like chasing after the wind. And gaining, if that becomes the greatest thing in your life, it's like chasing after the wind. You can never catch it. So Solomon's wisdom caused him to also look other places for happiness. Solomon also sought happiness in expressing himself in what we would call literature. And there's a lot of people today who think, well, if I could just write a great story, or I could do all kinds of things to express hope and feeling and all of these things and what I have to say, you know, it would be a great happiness to me. And probably many people felt that way. Maybe many too do today also. Become rich and famous and all of those other things doing that. Well, Solomon had his part in it. 1 Kings chapter 4. Again, 1 Kings chapter 4. And look over in verse 32. 1 Kings 4:32. It says he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke also of the trees, from the cedar of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and of fish, and of all men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So he didn't just study how to read, how to write, and those things. He also studied what we would call biology and all of these other things. He was wise in all of these characters and territories and everything else. And people came from everywhere to hear of the wisdom that Solomon had. And we read through the book of Proverbs and Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes, you understand part of the wisdom that God gave to him. Of course, this was, as we say, God-given wisdom. It wasn't just his own mind, his own heart. He asked for it, and God gave it to him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and then verse 12, he comes to a conclusion about writing and all of these things and expressing that knowledge in songs and proverbs and all of those things. He said, beyond this, my son, be warned, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh. So Solomon, no doubt, brought him great pleasure to do these things, and yet that does not bring lasting happiness or something greater in the world that he needed. Solomon tried to find happiness in riches. You know, how many people today are looking for the same thing? And he tried. In fact, he multiplied riches to the point where he exceeded even all of the kings of the earth of his time. 1 Kings 10:23 says, King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now again, the way the world looks at these things, you think, what else could he possibly have to bring him happiness? He was richer than any other king of any other nation of the world. Now, if you read through the book of 1 Kings, you'll find Solomon, the Bible says, he had 40,000 stalls of horses, 12,000 horsemen, 1,400 chariots. And the gold that he took during one year amounted to over 666 talents of gold. I went back and looked it up and found that a talent is a weight of an amount of gold. It weighed basically 93 pounds and 12 ounces. I don't know how much that would be in today's money-wise, but someone figured up, and I didn't do this, but somebody else did one time, that if you made $100 an hour and worked 24 hours a day for 365 years, take you 455 years to make the amount of money that Solomon made in that year. So that gives you an idea of his wealth was amazing to the people of the time. Solomon was richer than any of the other kings of the earth. And you can just imagine what you could do with that kind of income as Solomon had. And you think, well, you know, he must have eaten the best food possible, wore the same best clothes possible, had the greatest palace of ever. In fact, you read through the 1 Kings, you'll find it took 7 years for Solomon to build the temple of God in Jerusalem. It took 20 years to build his own palace. And so 1 Kings 4 and verse 22. It says, now Solomon's provision for one day, this was at his table for eating, was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 10 oxen from the pastures, and 100 sheep besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. So think about that. That's feeding the people that work for him and his palace and others. And he provided all of that. And again, the Queen of Sheba came to see him, hear of his wisdom and see his wealth and everything. And she said, the half was not told me. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, when the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, his stairway, by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no spirit left in her. She could not really believe, if we read between the lines kind of here, that Solomon really had all of this wisdom and power and wealth. But it says her spirit was no more in there. In other words, she knew she was defeated, that she could not compare with what Solomon had. But the Queen of Sheba, simply, she was overwhelmed by what she saw. And Solomon had anything that money could buy. But once again, he came to the same conclusion. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, in verse 10, he says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping after the wind, for there is no profit under the sun. Now, if we read that, and we stop there, you might think, well, what is the use in life? You know, he's done all of these things, he had great wisdom. You might think, well, there's nothing here. There's nothing for us. But that's not the, you have to read all the way to the conclusion to understand what Solomon said. That doesn't mean these things were not important for him, and maybe for his kingdom and all of those things. But he said, sought happiness in all of these different places. He also sought pleasure or happiness in pleasure. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1, he says, I said unto my heart, come now and I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? So the wealth, the power, and everything else, he says in verse 3 then, I searched into my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. Again, Solomon had everything imaginable that people could think about that should bring him happiness. He wore the greatest and best clothes there were. He ate the best foods of the time. He had the kind of luxury only normal people could only dream about. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I'm not sure how that works in there, but anyway, he stimulated himself with wine, probably other kinds of things that were there. In all of this, in this way of life that he chose to do, he came to the same conclusions. He lived for what today is called hedonism. That means the gratification of the flesh in whatever way that he wanted. Well, what was his conclusion? We go back to chapter 2 and verse 10 of Ecclesiastes. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. From my heart I rejoiced, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. So he did get a reward from it. He did have the enjoyment of all the things that he had in life. But when he truly looked at it, he says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and the labor which I had toiled. Solomon built the greatest temple ever been built on the earth. He built one of the greatest palaces a king had ever lived in, and all of the other things that he built in and around Jerusalem and throughout his empire. And he said, on the labor which in which I had toiled, and all indeed was vanity and grasping after the wind, for there was no profit under the sun. In other words, when later on he talks about when you die, you just pass it on to someone else, and you don't even have possession of it anymore. But Solomon realized the folly and all of the experiences that he had. And so what was left for him? When he tried all of these things, and the pleasure-mad world in which we live today would think that Solomon had it all. He had everything that money could buy, everything the world could offer, and yet he was not satisfied. He knew that didn't bring happiness. Also, we go back to Solomon and realize he tried to find happiness in power. Well, there was never a kingdom of his time that was as powerful and had the greatest borders that Israel did. It was the greatest extent of Israel of the time that it ever was, even under King David and the other kings of Israel. Solomon had the largest kingdom of all of them. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 21, 1 Kings 4:21 says, and Solomon ruled all over all the kingdoms from the river, that's the river Euphrates, unto the land of the Philistines and into the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. So he reigned over the biggest empire that Israel ever had on the face of the earth. He had a powerful army. He had horses and chariots. He had the best navy of the time. He had a great fleet of merchant ships going and trading all over the Mediterranean and other places also. And he was king and ruler over all of those things. His word was absolute law in his kingdom. And so someone said, if he said you lived, you lived. If he said you died, you died. He was the supreme ruler and monarch over his land. And so he had everything possible that man's idea could bring that would bring about happiness. And again, he comes to the conclusion, it's all chasing after the wind, that it doesn't really bring joy, it doesn't bring true happiness. Well, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, as far as we know. But in spite of his wisdom, he had to find out the hard way what truly brings true happiness. So turn over again what we read at the beginning. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And we'll begin reading about verse 9. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 9. He says, moreover, because the preacher, that's talking about himself, was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, and yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So he continued to, in this wisdom, he didn't give up on these things. He still had them, and he still enjoyed probably a great deal of his life. And then he realized that's not what brings the final joy in life. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, the words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. In other words, there is something we can hold on to, something that can guide us in our lives, and that's the words basically that come from God and not from man. He says in verse 12, and further, my son, be admonished by these things. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh. Well, Solomon knew what he was talking about, because he wrote, he did all of those other things, but that did not bring him final happiness. Here is the conclusion, verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, all the things he tried, wealth, power, fame, pleasure, all of those things, what did it matter? It didn't matter anything without God. If God is not there first, then none of these other things matter. They'll just be gone when we die. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The whole responsibility we have is two things: fear God and keep his commandments. If we do that, whether it's under the law in which he lived or the law in which we live, under Christ, that's our responsibility. That's why we're here. That's why God put us here. Fear God, in other words, have proper respect, love, and concern and obedience to him. Fear God and keep his commandments. Do what he says. Because God says, if you do that, I'm going to bless you now and for all of eternity. And he says, here's why, verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So God gives us an opportunity. And then Solomon, you know, after going through all of his life, came back to the very conclusion that God really wanted him to have in the first place, when he asked for wisdom instead of wealth and power and fame and everything else. God says, I'm going to give you wisdom so you'll know and be able to understand these things. And so we read through the book of Ecclesiastes and realize that, you know, Solomon maybe is like us in some ways. He seemed to have to learn things the hard way sometimes. And you read through the book of 1 Kings, and you'll find, you know, he did some things that were not good. He didn't always live up to his wisdom and his knowledge. But in the end, he came back to an understanding. All of these things are striving after the wind. All of these things are not relevant unless we turn our lives and our service to God first. And then you go over to Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, these physical things of life that we need, God's going to help us and supply them for us. But we have to make the decision. We have to be like Solomon. We don't have to go through all the things he did to find out what brings happiness, because it's explained to us right here. We simply have to believe and obey Christ and follow him in this life. We'll have the best life now, the best life that is to come. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I have come they may have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to have the best life now and for all of eternity. But the choice is up to you and me. And that choice is ours tonight. If you need to come, if there's something in your life that you realize needs to be changed, and you need prayers, or you need the help of us, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.